Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Preaching for a few minutes on the subject, Acts 2:38. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. I truly believe that this is the only answer for mankind. It's the only answer for the United States of America. We have an election coming up. The primaries are yet a year off, but all the candidates are getting ready, positioning themselves, etc. And I think that the election is important. I think politics is important. And Lord, help the candidates, help the election, and help the country. But more important than politics and elections is the Word of God and serving the Lord with fear and gladness. The great scripture in Chronicles, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways." Lord, you shall hear from heaven. You shall answer. You shall forgive sin. You shall heal the land. Please help this nation. Please touch this nation. Lord, don't forget our Christian founding principles. Help us to walk before you in fear and trusting in you. I know what I ask is a great thing. I understand it. But Lord, this country must turn back to God. This country must repent. Yes, help the election, please. But the country must turn back to God or face, I believe, certain destruction. Please help us. And again, Lord, bless the preaching of the Word and my listeners today. These last couple of months, if you've been listening, you know that I've been trying to preach on the Holy Spirit, and specifically Pentecost. And I've tried to look at this issue, this great event in church history, the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that empowered the disciples, the apostles, the early church, to win lost souls and to propagate this great gospel all over the known world. I've looked at Exodus, I believe it was chapter 17. I've looked at the book of Joel. I've looked at the book of Luke. And if you've listened, you know this. And if you haven't heard and would like to hear these messages, you can download them free of charge on my website. That's joeykelly.net, my name, /ministry. And click the radio link, and everything I've preached for 4.5 years on this station. You can download any of the podcasts, the MP3 files. And again, they're free of charge. But as I said, I've been preaching on Pentecost. And today's message is probably the last one of this series, at least for a while. But our text today, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There's a certain segment of Pentecostalism that takes this chapter, this verse in particular, and verse 42 as well, which says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And they will try to say that the disciples, specifically Peter, on the day of Pentecost, received new revelation from heaven. The Bible is clear that there is one God, but He reveals Himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. The Bible is clear that it's one God in three persons. We say that that's the Trinity, the triune God. But there's a segment of Pentecostalism, as I said. They will try to say that Peter received this new revelation right as the Spirit fell, and he began to preach a new doctrine. He revealed a new theology, supposedly, taken from this one verse. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." It doesn't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We can look back in history and know exactly when this doctrine started. It's called oneness, or Jesus only, or what have you. It's error. make no mistake. It's a twist on Sabellianism. Sabellianism said that there was one person, God the Father, and at times he pretended to be the Son and pretended to be the Spirit. The oneness doctrine, which some Pentecostals teach, says there's one being, it's the Son, Jesus. And he sometimes pretends to be, or appears to be, or reveals himself as the Father, and sometimes as the Spirit. Sabellianism is error. It's heresy. It was refuted hundreds and hundreds of years ago and shown to be wrong. And the oneness doctrine of today likewise is error. But what I'd like to do today is take the text of the book of Acts chapter 2 and go through it and see what the text actually says. And look at the historical aspect of this chapter. The outpouring of the Spirit and the empowerment of the church to preach the gospel was one of the greatest events in all of human history. And as such, it fits in the history of the Bible and in the plan of God. And I believe that this chapter is consistent with every other chapter in the Bible. There is no new revelation. There's no new doctrine. Acts 2:38 and verse 42 are consistent with the rest of the Bible. And these two verses, in fact, teach the Trinitarian position and not the oneness. So let's take a look at what this chapter has to say. In reading this chapter, it's a miraculous chapter. It's an amazing chapter in the Bible. In it we find the outpouring of the Spirit, the promise of the Father that Jesus prophesied about, that John the Baptist prophesied about, that the Old Testament prophets, psalmists, etc., prophesied about. But in this chapter we find that the Spirit of God falls from heaven. The disciples are supernaturally empowered to speak in other tongues, languages that they had not learned. But as you read through the chapter, you understand what that was all about. And I've preached on this some weeks ago. There were a number of different people, and in verse 9 through 11, it mentions the different people. They were mostly Jews. Probably 99% of them were Jews. But they were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Jews from Phrygia and Libya and Cyrene, etc. And I haven't read all of the different places. But these people were all Jews. They all spoke Hebrew. They all knew the Old Testament inside and out. They knew about the prophet that Moses preached about and prophesied about. They knew the messianic prophecies. But these Jews, their native language was not Hebrew. They were from Libya and Cappadocia and all of these different places, and they spoke other languages as their native tongue. Their common language, of course, was Hebrew. But it's important in the plan of God that all of these Jews, they came on this feast day to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. It's an important thing that they were from all of these different countries and spoke all of these different languages. But the disciples were empowered to preach in the languages that they grew up learning and spoke every day of their lives in their different countries. You see, after the feast was over, they journeyed back to their homes. They went back to Egypt and what have you. And they told their friends back home, the people in the synagogue back home, the people in the marketplace back home that may or may not have been Jews, they told all of these people back home what happened on the day of Pentecost and also 50 days before at another great feast, the Feast of Passover. They told the story of Jesus Christ. And you see, that's important. Salvation is to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And these Jews lived among Gentiles. In Israel, certainly, everywhere you looked, there was another Jew. Jews all over the place. But in Egypt, or in Libya, or in Mesopotamia, they were in the minority. And these different places were Gentile countries, Gentile cities. And here we find that Jesus Christ didn't just die for Jews, but for Gentiles. Jesus died that the sins of the world might be forgiven and washed away, if anyone anywhere in the world would turn to God and look at Christ. But it says in verse 11, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." The disciples were speaking supernaturally in languages they had not heard. And in those local tongues, those native tongues, native languages of all of the Jews from all of these different places, they heard them prophesying of the wonderful works of God. But it says in verse 14 that Peter, standing up with the 11, and that right there is a great sermon, that Peter, the one that denied the Lord 3 times, the one that forsook the Lord when he needed help the most, Peter, standing up with the 11, I could preach a great sermon of restoration on this verse right here, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But it says, "He lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." And then he begins to preach. And first, in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And I've taken time a week or so ago to preach from the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, we read about the great outpouring of the Spirit that happened here in Acts chapter 2. But that's the only happy part of Joel. The rest of it deals with sin being pointed out, rebellion being pointed out, and judgment being pointed out and warned about. And at the end of the book of Joel, in chapter 3, it talks about the great tribulation, that horrible time that is just around the corner, that awful time that's going to come upon the earth when God judges sin, when God punishes sin, and sinners. But it's also a time when God purges the Jews, and through various events and plagues and awful things, which we can read about in the book of Revelation, for instance, the Jews are brought back into the kingdom of God, grafted back in, as Paul the Apostle said. You can read in the last 3 or 4 chapters of the book of Zechariah that during the tribulation, the Jews are brought to a place where they have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And those passages in Zechariah talk of when Christ comes back. He appears from heaven. And they ask him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" And he tells them that the wounds in his hands were when he was wounded in the house of his friends. We understand that the Jews crucified Christ, but it was for our benefit, and it was for the Jews' benefit, that the Lamb of God would be slain, and his precious blood poured out on the cross of Calvary. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, it was the plan of God, divinely orchestrated, that Jesus would come to earth and die. Jesus was a great man, no doubt. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demon spirits. He preached great sermons of encouragement. He was a man of compassion and patience and kindness and all of these things. But none of his miracles saved one soul. When he cast out 7 devils from Mary Magdalene, I believe it was, she was helped, no doubt. But that miracle did not save her soul. By all means, I believe that she surrendered to the Lord and was saved. But it's because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross that paid for her salvation, and yours and mine. The great miracles, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, such a great miracle. But it was his death on the cross that washes away sin. It's the shedding of blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
you fully trusting in His grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.